Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Astatio's conference call to discuss the first quarter of 2014 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the Internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We'd like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We'll then begin a question and answer session, and further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star and zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risk and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Rogério Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Rogério, you may proceed.
Well, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss our results for the first quarter of 2014. Virgilio Guibon, our CFO, is with me here today, and will be helping me with the presentation. Just to remind you all that we will have a question and answer session just as soon as the presentation is over. So let's go straight to slide 2 for presentation, which is also available on our website. Looking at the main indicators for the first quarter, we see that we had success in sustaining a significant growth pace. We announced another record high intake cycle, the 80th in a row. This time, we enrolled 134,000 students in our on-campus and distance learning undergraduate courses, increasing our same-class on-campus undergraduate student base by 17.5% and our distance learning undergraduate base by almost 23%, with a total growth of 20.7% over first quarter 13. Thanks to the excellent performance of the student base, helped by the positive variation on the on-campus average ticket, the first quarter 14 net revenue recorded a substantial 30% growth over first quarter 13, reaching 538.2 million reais, while EBITDA reached 129.4 million reais, which represents a relevant 49% growth year over year. EBITDA margin came to 24.1%, a 3 percentage points gain over 2013. In addition, this quarter we successfully concluded the assisted transfer process of the Gama Filho and Universidade students, conducted by the Ministry of Education, following the disaccreditation of these institutions. By the end of the first semester enrollment process, 6,700 of these students had opted to transfer to Estácio, 1,700 of whom medical students and 5,000 in other programs. It is worth highlighting that Estácio may receive more students from these institutions in the second semester of 2014 through the assistant transfer program. We also concluded enrollment for Pronatec program in the Bolsa Formação modality for the first semester of 2014. Estácio won 100% of the requested places, almost 30,000, all of which in the state of Rio de Janeiro, and enrolled 24,100 students, a conversion ratio of 81%. Around 65% of the enrolled students will take morning programs, 30% afternoon programs, and 5% nighttime courses, hence allowing us to occupy idle capacity in our units. Following the guidelines of our strategic plan, we launched our corporate university, which is already operating at full strength with on-campus and distance learning courses and training programs to all our people. Also, we had another important milestone as we opened the Espaço Navi in the same building in our facility in the port region of Rio de Janeiro. Navi is an innovation space for simulating and experimenting with the University of the Future's new environments, enrollment rooms, classrooms, IT labs, and so forth, as well as for providing support to startups and other innovation-related activities. We believe that building these foundations demand a lot of time and energy, but in the medium and long terms, they will be very important to help us differ our institution from our peers. At the end of the presentation, I will return to comment on some important topics of our strategy, and also on the outlook for 2014. But in short, we started the year on a high note, keeping an excellent operational pace after concluding another record enrollment cycle, which will certainly pave the way for more excellent results throughout the year. I will now hand you over to Virgilio, who will go into more detail concerning our results for the first quarter.
Thanks, Melzi. Good morning, everyone. To begin with, I would like to call your attention to slide 3, which deals with our operating results. The first chart shows the student base at the end of the first quarter of 2014, when we had 394.5 thousand students, 20.7% more than at the end of first quarter 13. The same shop student base, excluding acquisition the last 12 months, Facitec and Acesc, grew by 19.3% over the same period last year. Our same shops on campus undergrad student base totaled 316.1 thousand students at the end of March, representing 17.5% organic growth and reinforcing the trend of sustainable organic student base growth following 8 record intake cycles in a row. On-campus undergraduate intake totaled 105.7 thousand students, 23.9% more than in first quarter 2013, already including the 6.7 thousand who transferred from Gama Filia and Universidade this quarter. These students had already part of their revenues booked in the first quarter, contributing to our revenue, but will only be fully booked in second quarter 2014, when we will have a better visibility of the impact of these transfers in our results. The renewal ratio reached 86.6% in the first quarter 2014, a 0.2 percentage point improvement over the same period last year, primarily due to the procedure change that anticipated student non-renewals in fourth quarter 2013, which offset the higher dropout levels we expected due to the higher numbers of students in the first and second semesters we currently have, primarily due to the cleanup of the students' base in fourth quarter last year, which anticipated first quarter 2014 non-renewals. Our distance learning base grew by 27.5% over last year to 78.4 thousand students. As you can see on the graph at the site, net operating revenue increased by 30.2% year-on-year to 538.2 million reais, thanks to the expansion of student base and the on-campus ticket increase. The table at the bottom shows that the average on-campus ticket grew by 10%. This quarter's increase was due to our policy of imposing above-inflation price hikes in certain specific locations and, among our other factors, to the choice of more expensive courses by FIES students, notably in the fields of engineering and health. The average distance learning ticket remained flat in the first quarter 2014, edging down by 0.4% due to the higher numbers of students opting for distance learning plus, an option which dilutes the course curriculum and consequently its value over further 2 semesters. And our policy of distance learning, course price adjustment in certain locations to better suit local market conditions. Now let's move on to slide 4, where you can see a vertical analysis of our operating costs and expenses. In first quarter 2014, our cash costs improved by 0.9 percentage point over first quarter 13 as a result of the following gains. Number one, 0.8 percentage point in third-party services as a result of the insourcing of security and surveillance in our units, which began to benefit this line with a counterpart in the personnel, besides the improved management of third-party service contracts. Two, 0.5 percentage point in textbook materials. The fact that 0.2 percentage point gain in the salaries and payroll charge line was less than in the recent quarters was due to the following 3 factors. Number one, the insourcing of security surveillance in our units mentioned above, which impacted this line due to the hire of personnel. Initial costs on the hire of new staff and faculty for the Pronatec vocational course and received the students who transferred from Gama Filia Universidade, which had an impact in first quarter 2014, while these students did not have their revenues fully booked in their quarter. And number three, the increase in labor agreements, which climbed from around 5 million reais last year to approximately 14 million reais in this quarter, consuming 1.6 percentage points of margin. This increase reflects a more proactive approach in solving labor issues, which should extend throughout 2013, and then return to levels more in line with historical average from 2015 onwards, since there is a clear downward trend in conviction related to labor lawsuits. The higher than now normal rise in the rentals line can be basically explained by the four factors below. 5 new campuses in comparison to first quarter 2013. 2 acquisitions, Facitec in SX, and 3 greenfields, Parangaba in Fortaleza, Angra dos Reis in Teresópolis, for an amount of 1.3 million reais. Number 2, the strategy to change variable contracts pegged to revenues to fixed contracts. In comparison to first quarter last year, nine relevant contracts suffered this alteration, which means an increase of 2.8 million reais. In the medium and long terms, we believe these changes will bring significant margin gains, as we have been working too hard to improve campus occupation through distance learning growth, new programs such as Pronatec, and more efficient academic planning. Number 3, adjustment for period inflation as stipulated in contracts for an amount of 4 million reais. And 4, the rental contracts which are pegged to revenues that end up growing at a pace similar to 30% growth, showing the net revenue line. On the same slide, you can see the selling expenses represented 9% of net revenue, generating a margin gain of 1.4 percentage points due to the 0.8 percentage point improvement in PDA line. Reflecting the organic improvement in this line, which also was positively impacted from the student base cleanup in the fourth quarter 2013, and the 0.6 percentage point improvement in marketing. Still in the vertical analysis of operating costs and expenses, you can see that our G&A corresponded 12% of net revenue, 0.6 percentage point improvement over the same period last year, thanks to the gains of 0.3 percentage points in personal and 0.3 percentage points in third-party services, reflecting the gains of scale in these lines. As we have been mentioning since second quarter 2013, it's worth noting that the personal line has been impacted by the increase in the headcount, corresponding to investments in new areas that will generate significant revenue for the company, such as continuing education department, so that this item may be more comparable in the next cycles. Besides, we move further in the process of linearizing bonus provisioning in this account. Nevertheless, we still manage to record efficiency gains. Moving on to slide 5, here you can see the EBITDA came to 129.4 million reais in the first quarter 2014, a substantial 48.6% more than the first quarter last year, due to margin gains from both cost SG&A expenses. We are continuing to grow our EBITDA and generate margin gains at a gradual and constant pace. Thanks to gains in scales from the expansion of the student base, our managed model, and our focus on the long term. Net income totaled 125.8 million reais, 88.9% growth with a margin of 23.4%, a 7.3 percentage points of margin improvement. Now let's go to slide 6, where we present our accounts receivable. The number of receivable days to issue an agreement, including FIES receivables and FIES net revenues, averaged 84 days, one less than first quarter 2013. Excluding FIES net revenues and receivables, the average receivables period was 88 days, 4 days more than in the last year. It's worth noting that by the end of March, we still had around 20,000 students in the process of contracting FIES. Moving on to slide 7, here you can see that in first quarter 2014, FIES accounts receivable increased by 68.3 million reais over the previous quarter to 147.2 million reais, a natural result of the concentration of financing contract amendment at the beginning of the semester, as well as the expansion of the FIES student base. FIES carry forward credits increased by 19.2 million reais, to 63.6 million reais, due to a further delay in the max buyback auction in March, which was normalized at the beginning of April. Adjusting for this delay, the average FIES days receivable falls to 78 days, 11 days less than the first quarter 2013. It's worth remembering that in January, we received 44 million reais related to the delay in the buyback auction in December, besides the regular amount of the month. Slide number 8 shows the aging of our receivables and agreements, which remain healthy in the first quarter 2013. Thanks to the continuation of our rigorous debt renegotiation policies in this quarter, only 8% of total receivables came from renegotiation with students. In addition, the percentage of receivables from renegotiation overdue by more than 60 days accounted for 28% of total agreements, or 1.6% of total accounts receivable. Finally, slide number 9 shows our quarterly cash flow. This quarter, we changed our reporting methodology so the table shown can be better compared to the quarterly financial information. This table is already adjusted by the delays in FIES auctions, both in December, 44 million reais, and March, 63.1 million reais, as if they are accurate in the respective month. In this quarter, we recorded a positive operational cash flow of 22.2 million reais, 13.5 million reais higher than the first quarter 2013. It's important to highlight that the negative variation in assets and liabilities is mainly due to the increase in accounts receivable, which is directly linked to the high number of students still contracting FIES by the end of March, around 20,000. Operational cash flow before CapEx came to 58.6 million reais in first quarter 2013, 36.2 million reais higher than the same period last year. It's worth noting that the 22.2 million reais cash generation after CapEx, 155 above first quarter 2013, has come with a level of CapEx 22 million over the same period last year. I will now hand you back to Melzi for his final conclusions and remarks. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Virgilio. On slide number 10, I'd like to comment a bit on our growth strategy. There is no doubt that the education sector is going through a very good moment from a business standpoint. Unlike many sectors that seem to swim against the flow, our segment has been profiting from a series of externalities that help the good companies, which today are more exposed to the financial markets, to reap great results. In our opinion, however, it is very important that each company establish a clear strategy to take advantage of this moment, not to results in the short and medium terms, but also to prepare for their future in a scenario where there will always be uncertainties. After all, it is easier to prepare for the future during prosperous periods than having to do so under the pressure of an eventually not so positive scenario. Here at Estácio, we have been doing that with a lot of discipline, and we think it is of utmost importance to explain our strategy and its implications to our investors, shareholders, and other stakeholders, so that everyone may have the right expectation with respect to our operations, so as to be able to differ Estácio from other players and their own strategies. One of the most efficient ways to illustrate the strategy is to use cases of companies that are a reference to us, cases that serve as inspiration to our operation. In parallel, we may also mention authors who, through their work, managed to effectively translate into words and expressions the strategy used by these great companies. In this context, few examples apply so well to Estácio as Chapter 3 of the book Great by Choice by Jim Collins and Morten Hansen, that discusses the 20-mile march. According to the authors, companies as big as Microsoft or Southwest Airlines obtained success for several decades because they, among other things, had the discipline to grow within certain ranges in a gradual way, not yielding to the temptation of accelerating too fast when the wind was blowing in the right direction, but also fearlessly growing during the bad times while never losing focus on their beliefs. When we look at slide number 10, I think that we see something similar, although, of course, in a different stage. Analyzing Estácio's evolution between 2008 and 2013, we verify that the growth rates are within a certain range, and we can identify a certain pattern, a kind of consistency, throughout the years. We can see a company that managed to grow during the hardest period of its history, when there were no positive externalities yet, and, on the contrary, there were pressures and expectations from every side. But you can also see that when the period of turbulence ended and we began to face more favorable winds, there were no abrupt changes leading to an unsustainable expansion pace, which is very aligned to Collins and Hansen's theory. On slide number 11, we illustrate the way we think about the growth for our institution. The basic idea is that we want to make the most of the good times we are experiencing right now, because we also like to grow in the short term. At the same time, however, we want to use this moment to prepare our company for the medium term and in parallel to also plant some seeds for the long run. For this reason, the focus of our team is to get the best possible result in 2014 without ever hurting the operational standards we constantly seek to improve. In this context, the excellent intake and good renewals rates that we saw in the first quarter do open many doors for us to generate another series of spectacular results. We believe that, as in previous years, the expansion observed in the first quarter may be a good proxy for the rest of the year, although at this time, we still have some upside risks that may help us to sustainably accelerate this rhythm. For example, we know that Pronatec and the assistant transfer process barely contributed for the results this quarter. We still have nothing coming from UNICEF, but we believe that after the conclusion of the CADES ruling and the subsequent appreciation in our shareholders meeting, we will be able to show more clearly all the opportunities we have with the expansion of our distance learning operation, and with that, how we will be able to seek for even better returns to our shareholders. We continue to firmly conduct our expansion area, which is not only responsible for getting authorization for new courses in our campuses, but also takes care of the opening of new units and expansion of the current ones. We have small and medium-sized M&A opportunities in the pipeline, and we keep working to establish Estácio as a relevant player in other segments, such as graduate programs, short-term courses, prep courses for civil service exams, and corporate solutions. That said, there is a whole range of possibilities which, if materialized, can help us get even better results in 2014. At the same time that we take care of 2014 with a lot of energy, we have several teams dedicated to prepare Estácio for the medium term, because we believe that in the coming years, it will become increasingly important to differentiate Estácio from its peers. We think this differentiation will come basically from new technologies and innovation applied to our academic model, high level of service offered to our students, relationship with alumni, society's perception towards our brand, alignment with the job market, and student employability. That said, we have had our top-notch teams taking care of each of these topics for almost 2 years. In other words, we are using this good period to prepare the stars of the future while reaping the benefits of positive externalities. Finally, we also think about the long run, because we know that if we want to keep growing like we have been doing, and at the same time generating such attractive returns, we can never get soft or accommodate with our success. For this reason, we are always aware of new opportunities in several areas that are correlated to our core business, but at the same time may open new horizons in the way we like, safely, gradually, and responsibly. After all, as authors Collins and Hansen say, ultimately, we are responsible for improving our performance and never throw the blame on the circumstances, much less on the environment. That brings us to the end of our presentation. So now, let's go straight to the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your phone. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star, then two. And our first question comes from Nyla Cruz of Lazard Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking the question. If I can just ask two questions. One is related to all the government programs that are in place. And, you know, obviously at the moment, the government is very supportive of the space, you know, all the players in the sector. But just kind of wanted to understand what the company's backup plan would be in the event that, you know, this reverses itself at some point down the line.
Hi, Nyla, great question. This is Mel speaking. You're right. You know, so far so good. I think the government has been walking the talk pretty much. I go to Brazil very often. I speak to a lot of members from the government, and I believe that they finally have put education in a high level of as a high level of priority, you know, to Brazil. So right now, even though we are going through election this year, as you know, right now there is no sign whatsoever that there will be any change in the two most important programs we have. The ProUni. ProUni is an older one, a full scholarship for, you know, students. And FIES, the new one, which is a low one, it's been around for maybe 2 or 3 years, the new version of FIES. So far, there is no sign whatsoever that there will be any change. But having said that, here at Espacio, Myla, we all think, you know, the entire time, long term. That's the way we behave here. So I don't know if you are familiar with our strategy for FIES, for example. ProUni, I mean, there's not a lot of strategy for ProUni. ProUni is a law. You have to respect the law. There is a certain percentage of students you need to have enrolled in ProUni. But FIES, for FIES, there is a kind of an option here. We may be more or less enthusiastic about FIES. So here at Espacio, I believe we adopted a kind of slow adoption curve for FIES students at Espacio. We reached 30% of our on-campus student base right now in this last quarter, which is, I believe, much less than our peers already have. So how we deal with, in this scenario, with the eventual change in the future, even though there is no, again, let me reinforce that, even though there is no sign of a change, even if there is a change in our government, you know, because of elections, I believe these programs are so important to our country in terms of improving our education that I can't foresee any kind of change. But even though, since we think long term, we need to be ready for this kind of uncertain future. So when I think of ProUni, for example, we have our team here, Virgilio, as a CFO, thinking about a lot of opportunities to offset whatever losses we may have, because ProUni yields us a tax shield for net income taxes. So if we are to lose the ProUni or part of the ProUni, we have our team here working on a lot of potential tools to offset that simply by doing a better fiscal planning, something that we, so far, we haven't needed to do because we pay very little income taxes. So there are some opportunities on the table if we need to do so, even though, again, we do not expect any major change when it comes to ProUni. As for FIES, besides being very careful in terms of adopting FIES to our students, we keep thinking here about eventually a threshold for FIES. If we reach a certain percentage of students adopting FIES, we may try to slow it down a little bit. I say we may because it is a possibility. We are studying, we keep studying, and obviously if we get safer about, you know, the duration of this program, especially if there is a change in our government and the program keeps going, I think we can relax a little bit more. So we try to control that, we try to use FIES in a more responsible way. But from a strategic standpoint, it was not an accident that Espacio started thinking more carefully about new business lines 2 years ago. We are trying to diversify a little bit to try to escape from this dependence we have in programs that are regulated, you know, by nature, because the Ministry of Education has a lot of power when it comes to give us authorizations or, you know, to open campuses, to open programs, but also because this dependence on FIES is likely to increase over the coming years. So we now have our distance learning operation, which, by the way, students are not allowed to take FIES, at least until now. So it is kind of a natural, you know, hedge to us when it comes to FIES. But we are also investing a lot of time and effort here to launch these new platforms, for example, like the corporate training or the grad programs, which are much less regulated or no regulated at all if you compare to our core business. So this is a way to mitigate this eventual risk. But again, let me finalize this answer by saying that so far there is no sign whatsoever of any major change when it comes to these programs, okay?
Okay. And if I can ask another question, just on the macro front, obviously the company as well as the competitors are pretty sensitive to any changes in unemployment or, you know, wage growth. So again, so far so good here, but if you can just kind of run me through what kind of systems are in place, that, you know, in the event that this does happen, what can the company do in this scenario?
So I think there is a change, and again, we're going to come back to Fies. I think there's a change in the landscape that puts a big question mark in this question, because until a few years ago when we didn't have an alternative like Fies, the truth is that the correlation between the level of unemployment and our demand was very high. I would say maybe close to one, because in our case, Stash and I think our peers, most famous peers as well case, I think 75 to 80% of our students are paying their tuitions out of their own pockets, meaning they work and overday, and then they study with us overnight, and they pay from their pockets. So obviously, if there were, you know, a spike in unemployment, we would have a lot of trouble to keep our growth rates. However, there is a change in the scenario, which is the launching of the new FIES, because as students are taking this FIES now, and they have no need to pay, you know, the principal during their program, I think that, you know, at least this would partially offset whatever problems could arise from an unemployment rate, you know, spike. Not to say that eventually could actually offset or even be positive, because if there were any spike, again, in unemployment in Brazil, chances could be that students would like to take this time, they would not be working anyway, to finance their studies and to get ready for better times, you know, when the economy ramps up again. So it's early to say, because we haven't gone through any kind of crisis in terms of unemployment since FIES was launched, but I think we would see a kind of an insurance happening because of FIES. But since FIES is uncertain, obviously, we need to think about other ways to mitigate this eventual risk. Here at Estácio, for example, we launched a campaign last year. We bought an insurance to assist students if they lose their jobs for one semester, so they have time to try to find another job without having to give up their studies with us. This is a tool that we are using here to try to, you know, attract students, to show them, come to us. We trust so much in your capacity to find a good job that even if you lose your job, we're going to help you to study with us. So we are giving signs to our students about how much we believe in them. But obviously, if unemployment doubles in the medium term for whatever reason, and if FIES doesn't work in the way I'm telling you, eventually there could be a damage, you know, to us. Nobody's free from this risk.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your phone. And again, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your phone. Since there seems to be no further questions at this time, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Rogério Melzi for his final remarks. Go ahead, sir.
So, well, let me thank you all for joining us today. I know there are a lot of other calls happening right now. Here is time. We're living a great time, but keep, you know, working hard to prepare our company for the future so as to be able to keep delivering great returns to you as time goes by and to have good calls as we had today. Our investor relations team is always available to you, and so are Virgilio and myself. So I hope to see you all very soon, and thank you again. Have a great day.
This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a great day.